is I really feel I'm in the light as he was in the light. Eh? Windpom sherry. Those who don't know what it means, ask somebody to translate it for you. That wasn't heavy, was it?
No.
Of course not. There's nothing heavy in the gospel. There's nothing. The Lord doesn't. He's come to set us free. He's come to put us in a position of freedom that I don't think we fully understand the ramifications of what he says when he says, "I've come to set you free." Huh? And you know, when he starts moving in our hearts, and listen to me, what I'm saying now, no matter what's happening around us, we need to learn to let go and relax. Now, you've heard that many, many, many times, but then we have this fight when things happen. The prophetic word that came this morning was so apt in what I wanted to share this morning as well. And we need to just take hold. When these things happen, you know, God's prophetic ways, and you've probably heard me say this before, he challenges the mind to reveal what's in your heart. And you know, when something comes from the pulpit, when something happens out there, whatever happens in your whole life, in your circumstances or where you are, there's a challenge. Which way am I going to go? Am I right? We all have this every day. And that's a fact of life. We cannot get away from that, guys. It is there all the time. When we have deaths like we had this week, and I'm not saying, oh, we would just poo-hoo them and say, oh, well, of course we get sad. Of course we react to it. But in the reaction, what are you going to do? I had a dream last week, and it was, as some of you know, God ministers to me lots in dreams. It's about young men dream dreams, isn't it? Was it old? Oh, sorry, got it. Okay. And I had a dream. It's a dream that has not left me, and I really believe this morning that God wants to come and God wants to set some of you free. And even while I'm sharing, just get your mind, we're going to break bread at the end of this meeting. And in breaking the bread, God's going to do something here in your heart that's never happened before. And that's going to come as total trust and total reliance on him. So here I am, I get up on Monday morning, and I have this dream, and I can ask Anne, I just sat there the whole day, the whole week. Even now, when I speak about it, I can feel the Holy Spirit getting my attention. Now, it's going to sound a bit gruesome to you, but listen to how the dream went. I was in a meeting with a lot of pastors. Now, yeah. And one of the guys that caught my attention was standing in the corner, but he was like the walking dead. He was like white, mildewy white, if I can put it like that. And his joints were black, and he couldn't move. He was like standing like a statue. But he was alive, but he couldn't move. He sort of everything. And the Holy Spirit said to me in the dream, go and lay your hands on this man, and there will be instantaneous healing. Okay? Who wants instantaneous healing? Thank you. Yes. There will be instantaneous healing. And I prayed for this guy, and immediately he changed. And immediately he started worshiping God. Immediately the Holy Spirit took hold of him. Then there was another guy, and we just prayed and prayed and prayed. Now you say, well, what's that got to do? Aren't you supposed to go to the scripture first of all? Well, I think give me a bit of leeway as a prophet to throw a couple of things in there to challenge your mind this morning, to reveal what's in your heart. And I was just, and you know, Dr. Henry mentioned to me, we're going up to Kenya and Tanzania in September. We're ministering to pastors' meetings and into some of the churches up there. And he said to me, you know what these people need? They need a revelation of healing. And yeah, this challenged me. You know, here we come. You know, this challenge that we come. What are you going to do with it? The dream comes. What are you going to do with it? Now, I did say to Steve, and bless him, he asked me to minister today, and I just thank him for that, and the other guys here that are with. And what was I going to say? You know, when you get young as me, things fart and to pull it back again. Help me. I must watch out when I go off on a tangent. Kenya, yes. And we've got to go up there and go and minister. Now, in a dream last year, the Lord told me that I'm going up there. So I respond to these things. I have a journal. I know all of you have got a journal. And every single day the Lord speaks to you and you write down all those things in the Word. Thank you. I see those hands. Yes. And that's how we find what God is saying. And I'm just sensing that God is pouring out His Spirit like never before. I'm sensing revival in the air. I had a dream of a tsunami wave hitting this coast here. I didn't even know the word tsunami. That was 30 years ago. Now I'm giving my age away. 30 years ago, I had that dream. And I've been waiting for that dream. And I'm sensing that dream. And I'm sensing this anointing. And God is coming. And God is moving. And God is moving out there. But you know where He's moving big time? In Bill Brain's heart. He's dealing with Bill Brain. He's bringing Bill Brain to a position of peace and rest and freedom that he's never experienced before. And it's a challenge all the time. Even this week, I was challenged with some horror stories on crime. And immediately, I had to deal with it. I had to say, well, am I going to give in to these horror stories or am I going to give in to Jesus? And that's a challenge we all have. Guys, when you go out that door now today, that's a challenge you're going to have. What are you going to do with this Jesus that dwells in your heart? And all you have to do is believe. And I think it was Rob Rufus who said, who started that thing in my mind, I think in the Cape Town meeting a long time ago, the biggest sin that you and I can have is the sin of unbelief. Huh? The sin of unbelief. Think that through. Think it through. Unbelief. If you're sitting here with unbelief, come here, let me cast it out. So, you know, times of refreshing will come. Times of blessing will come. And even as you gave this morning, even as you gave out of what you didn't have, I pray the Lord's blessing upon you, that He'll give to you, pressed down, running over. And He would encourage you and encourage you. I hope I'm going to encourage you this morning. I'm going to give you a couple of statements here that I know are going to challenge you. And they are statements that have come out of the people in the soul, come out of ministry here. And we need to consider these statements, and we need to see where we're going. Now, why have I got a Bible in my hand? A couple of weeks ago, the Lord challenged me to write a book. Now, I got down, and I started putting all my thoughts down, and the title of the book is going to be Touching Dad's Heart. Now, when I thought about it this week, I thought, Lord, how can I write a book like this when you're moving so dynamically in my life every week? Because now last week I had this dream. I see God, you want to move, and I believe He's going to move here as we come to break bread, as we look at what He's done for us, as we look at His blood spilt, His body broken. Guys, there's healing there. This morning, guys, there's healing. You don't need to leave here unhealed. And to think of your mind, it's your heart that needs to come in line. It's your heart that needs to come in line with His Word. And all the other things will flow. You know, some of you know, my confession over my life, and I stand here as an answer to that confession. Now, that's my personal revelation. I'm not saying you must do this. This is what I've done. Let the weak say, I am strong. And many of you ask me, how are you, Bill? I am strong. I'm as strong as an ox. Okay? I'm as strong as a lion. Not because of me, because of Him. And you know, it's reliance on Him, not reliance on anything else. And I stand before you right now in the strength of the Holy Spirit, not in Bill Brain. When I came here this morning, I said, Lord, what are we going to do this morning? Dad, what are we going to do this morning? I'm going to say to these guys, Lord, you know what needs to happen. And you know, I just sensed that immense love, and He reminded me, which I reminded the guys at the last meeting I preached at, that when I went to India, and I was reading a book there by Sadhu Singh, who is a Christian mystic who went right around India, and man, what a life this guy is, so dedicated to the Lord. And it just ministered to me, and I said, Lord, that's the sort of life I want to live, all to You. Huh? And all the responsibilities and stuff that came out of that. From the time I was reading the book, I started weeping and weeping and weeping. All the way back from Ludhiana, all the way back to Delhi, all the way back to Durbs. These things were going through me. And I was just weeping as I sensed His presence. And as I said before, God has given us an imagination. And I just saw Him standing next to me with His hand on my shoulder. And even as I stand here this morning, I still sense that awesome presence with His hand on my shoulder. He's the strong one. I am the weak one. We worshiped Him and we thanked the Lord for that this morning in our worship. I hope you received that. Hey? He is a strong one. We are the weak one. He's daddy. And I know when I touch his heart, I have everything. I have everything. I have everything I need for this life, pertaining to this life. Isn't that exciting? A bit more excitement would come out of that one, I'm sure. I was hoping to, you know, you'd be jumping on your chairs and swinging from the chandeliers and all that. But you hear where we're going on the whole thing. We need to put our trust and hope in him. So there I was on the plane, and on a couple of occasions on that plane, I saw this congregation. You know, in my mind, I thought of you guys and thought of, you know, we part here, we've been here a long time. And I just sense this immense love oozing out of me, coming and oozing towards you. You know, I love each one of you, and I know you love me too, and we love each other, etc., etc. But I just sense God's immense love. And this morning, when I sense God's immense love, I sense his voice coming to you, and I sense his voice challenging you, only like he does, so gentle, so kind. He doesn't push you. He doesn't put the law on you. It's in the atmosphere like this. He creates the right atmosphere for us to respond. Like we need to create the right atmosphere daily in our daily walk to receive from the Lord. I joked with you just now about a journal. A journal is a good place to start, and the other good place to start is with the Word. But I'm not ministering onto that right now. But creating the right atmosphere for the Holy Spirit to move. And the Holy Spirit's moving already, and the Holy Spirit's touching your hearts already. Just don't respond to me. Respond to him who's standing with you. His hand is on your shoulder. Do you feel him? He's with me. Oh, he's with me. And I just want to touch Dad's heart. Now we're going to get to some, whoo. My, oh my, oh my. Time goes when you're having fun, huh? Can I have that? Sorry, I haven't got teenagers at home. I got it. Touching Dad's heart. On every slide I have here, that is my vision. That is a vision I carry right now. And when I touch Dad's heart, I know when I touch Dad's heart, I earn the right to speak into Anne's life and creating the right atmosphere for me to minister into Anne's life. It's not about Anne. It's about what God has told me to. He said, I must love my wife and I must care for my wife. And I must make sure that she knows how to where to buy biltong, where to buy all those things. You know what I mean? And you're with me. So trained, huh? And how it must be sliced and how much fat and how. Now I can't have any fat anymore. Cake is all. Thank you, madam. I believe the prophetic, and specifically the prophetic office, prepares the way. Now, you might have a couple of ideas about the prophetic, and sometime down the line, I'd like to kill some of those. But you know, all it is preparing the way for the Word. It's preparing a way for the King of Kings. It's preparing, just like Elijah, just like John the Baptist, prepared the way. It wasn't about them, it was about Jesus. It's preparing a way for Jesus. And I pray this morning that there's a preparation of the way in your heart now, that Jesus will come with his fullness and touch you. And every cry that you've had and every fear that he had, he will deal with it. Even now as I speak, I just pray that anointing will flow and that you will just respond to him. When you see him, you don't see the problems. Come on. When you touch his heart, you don't feel the problems. Come on. It doesn't matter what's happening out there. And you'll see. I'll challenge you a bit further. The prophets awaken God's people to hear his word. It focuses our attentions as a group on the message which the Lord wants us to hear. Prophets initiate the action of God amongst God's people. That was a guy, Bruce Yoakam, whatever. Long time, a statement he made, and I just grabbed the statement because I really believe that statement says what a prophet should be doing. And that's what I'm praying that's going to happen now. Have you heard the message already? Have you heard the message of healing and deliverance that is coming your way? And don't sit there and be arrogant, because I'll have to cast that demon out, then you'll be able to. But you hear what I'm saying? Huh? Thank you. Thank you. One, we'll sort your arrogance out now. but you hear what I'm going. No, we can joke. I mean, this is church, man. This is family. Hey? I'm a family member. And I used to be a policeman, so I can dodge the rocks as well. So, touching Dad's heart causes us to live in Jesus Christ. We see in Jesus Christ, Dad's heart. And look at that statement. Your destiny is in the Father through His Son, Jesus Christ, in the power of His mighty Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. What a statement. I didn't make that statement. Somebody else did. I copied it. But I like that statement, because that statement in a nutshell tells you what we're about. We move. We go to Father in the name of Jesus Christ, in the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit. That's what it's about. It's about Jesus Christ. William Booth, 100 years ago, said that he saw churches without Jesus. You know, the gifts of the Spirit without the Holy Spirit. Come on. Hey? Unfortunately, this church is not there. God, we've got to be a demonstration. If you say you're a grace person or a faith person or everything, you've got to be an expression of that. Grace has got to be oozing out of every pore. Grace all the time, even with the old taxi drivers. And boy, oh boy, does it test my attitude every day. Not only them. There's a lot of... Anyway, we're not about... In Jesus, we find the shepherd's heart and voice. His sheep know that voice above all others. And we see that in the Word of God. Are you hearing the shepherd's voice to you this morning? If you're not hearing the shepherd's voice, don't listen to me. But if you're hearing the shepherd's voice, respond to him, not to me. Respond to him. I'm just the messenger. Okay. Dr. Henry's son, who's sitting here in the meeting with us this morning, asked a question. Why is everybody scared of dying when they all want to go to heaven? That came up in the home cell. Guys, I thought, what a statement. It blew me over. Yeah. Huh? And actually, this is what we're talking about. This is exactly what we're talking about. Why are you scared of dying? Boy, are we going to go to a better place? Huh? Yes, thank you. I see those hands. Yeah, cool. Yeah, right, right. I'm going to speak on salvation afterwards and all that stuff. Now, I've got another statement here, and I trust that you heard the statement about 3 weeks ago. So, Steve preached 2 weeks ago. What is it? He said there's victory in death. Did you pick up that statement? Victory in death. With all the death, Stephen, who brought the prophetic word just now, and I know John Potter. Anybody who know John Potter? You know where he is now? He's in heaven. He died yesterday. And my first reaction, oh, he died. All that. Boy, he's in a better place. He's rejoicing with the Lord. Everything he preached, everything he hoped for, he has it right now. We're going to get sicknesses. We're going to get things. Well, my personal goal, and I'm not naive, my personal goal, I said, Lord, for every kg I lose, I want to serve you another year in the ministry. So that'll take me up to about, I'll give my age away here, about 86, hey, somewhere 90, say, let's say 90. That's how long you got me here. So you better pray for the rapture. Chop, chop. But you hear where I'm going. I want to die gracefully. When it's my time to go, as well, Kenneth Hagin, who went and lay down and said goodbye to everybody, put his newspaper down, sat down and said, right, Lord, into your hands do I commit my spirit. Come on. Amen. That's the goal. The goal is not sickness. And you know what happened? There's some, the devil plays on your mind. Even with all the messages you heard, he plays on your mind. First you hear somebody who's got cancer. Oh, I hope I don't get cancer. Come on. But you know, there are also practical steps we can take. And I believe I took a practical step. I had to come up for prayer for my knees and my back and everything. I still have growing pains. But what I'm saying is, since I've lost weight, I don't have the knees and knees and boomsy days. All fine now, you know. You know, and I can still chase Anne around the block quite well and all that sort of thing. But it's, guys, sometimes we don't eat properly, and we wonder why our bodies are in rebellion. My body was in rebellion big time. Big time, anyway. When I picked up the dog food, and I went to and picked up, it was 20 kgs. And I thought, gee whiz, if I lose 20 kgs, that's that much a weight. You pick up 20 kgs if you can. I can now. Okay. You pick up 20 kgs and see how much you've got to. And you know, healing comes. I believe I heard the voice of the Lord challenging me to get rid of the weight so I can be healthy enough to stand in front of you and to preach the gospel until he takes me home or whatever his purposes are. Amen? Yeah. So there's one. If you feel you need to lose weight and that is the problem, then you've heard a message this morning and just respond to it. And you know what we need? Yeah. We need some of that awesome strength that's available to us all the time. If you say you've been baptized with the Holy Spirit, baptized in the Holy Spirit, brew, yes, I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit. How's your patience, China? Well, you know, I just have a problem. I just don't have any patience. Well, then you're lying to me. Then you're lying to me. Because if you're full of the Holy Spirit, some of the fruits of the Spirit is patience. Much love, joy. We've all done it. We've all gone to Bible studies. Guys, stop reading about it. Start doing it. This is what I believe the Holy Spirit would say. I believe that's the message right now. You've all heard a very good friend of mine, just before he passed away, his good wife's in the meeting right now with us, and Pierre, a week before he passed away, said something to me, and it penetrated my heart. I was getting into all sorts of studies and theology, and he turned around to me and said, Bill, you have enough word inside of you without going and studying all over it. Get out and let what you have in your heart go. It's not theology. It's not books. It's not all that stuff. It's a person called Jesus Christ who is full of grace and mercy towards you. He is our grace. He is our strength. He is everything we need this morning. How's that for a good word?
Amen.
Yes, thank you. Why are we all so scared of sickness when we have healing in the atonement? Come on. You know, as soon as something happens, we get this pain or that pain, fear wants to grip you. But what I'm saying here in a statement like this, we need to turn to what we know, what Christ has spoken to us. He's spoken about the atonement, and that's why the breaking of bread, I spoke to James, what we're going to do with the breaking of bread at the end of the meeting, we're going to lay it out here, and as you go, come and receive, and go and break it with a friend, preferably an enemy as well, that'll make him a friend, okay? You got it? But what we're going to do, we're going to touch his heart this morning, touching Dad's heart. And when you touch his heart there, it makes him so glad because he sees you're a faithful child, you're a faithful son and daughter, and he'll pour out his blessing upon you as you take it by faith, as you believe in what he said we should do. And he said, as often as you come together, and then he said, fatadop, but that wouldn't be right. And take the wine, take the bread, and remember what he has done. Awesome time, family time. We can joke around the table. We can have fun around the table. There's a freedom there, guys, that we need to enter in. And we need to learn to relax in him, look to him. He's in charge. He's in charge of me. He's in charge of you. Every circumstance that you are facing now, he has an answer for, no matter what it is. There is no problem in this building right now that's bigger than my Jesus Christ. And my dad knows about it. He's actually got your telephone number, your email address, the whole tutti. He knows where you live. Huh? He knows where you live. He knows where you're sitting right now. They said they thought GPS had it all together. Hey, corner. The Lord had it long before they came up with their GPS. Amen. Colossians 2. Now, Steve actually ministered on these things, and I just want to take you, and this is my counsel to you in simple and straightforward. Just go ahead with what you've been given. That's the Message Bible I'm speaking out of. Eh? You've received Jesus Christ the Master. Now live in him. Guys, live in him, okay? You're deeply rooted in him. You're well constructed upon him. You know your way around the faith. Now do what you've been taught. School's out. Quit studying the subject and start living, and let your living spill over into thanksgiving. Come on. Come on. This is what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. Start living it. Start walking in it. Start trusting in God. Hush, hush, hush. Colossians 2 says, watch out for people who try to dazzle you with big words, da, da, da. You can read that. And goes on there, spread their ideas through empty traditions and human beings and the empty superstitions of spirit beings. And that's not the way of Christ. It's not the way of Christ, guys. The way of Christ is a freedom and a relaxness and a peace that the world does not have. Eh? But that's not the way. Everything of God gets expressed in Him. You can see and hear Him clearly. You don't need a telescope, a microscope, or a horoscope. Do you notice with a horoscope, they've got horror in front of it? Stay away from the horrors, guys. Otherwise, you'll get the horries. To realize the fullness of Christ, the emptiness of the universe without Him. When you come to Him, that fullness comes together for you too. His power extends over everything. His power extends over you this morning, over every cry of your heart. And what does the word tell us? The psalmist tells us, He will answer the cry of your heart. He will give you the desires of your heart. Isn't that not wonderful? He's such a good God. And I could go on and on that. But anyway, a risk of faith we need to take this morning. Let's look at that quickly. Because time is marching on. At the same moment, Jesus felt energy discharging from Him. He turned around the crowd. This was a woman with the issue of blood, the whole story there. So I was going to lead into that, but I'll lead into it. And He turned around and said, who touched my robe? His disciples said, what are you talking about with the crowd pushing and jostling and you asking, who touched me? Dozens have touched you. Okay, let's go on. But He went on asking, looking around to see who had done it. The woman, knowing what had happened, knowing she was the one, stepped up in fear and trembling, knelt before Him and gave Him the whole story. Now, I just see there's just so much. I could preach another sermon on that right now. But we need to just touch His garment and touch Him this morning. And we're touching Him here at the table. Okay? You got it? Let's go on. The risk of faith, Mark 5. Jesus said to her, daughter, you took a risk of faith, and now you're healed and whole. Live well, live blessed, be healed of your plague. They say, well, that's a woman there, but God is saying that to you this morning. Take a risk of faith. Faith is risky business. Eh? How do you know you're going to be healed? Why is everybody so full of fear when they're all going to heaven? You know, come on, get rid of all that stuff. Get rid of all that stuff and enter in, be strong, trusting in the word that He's planted in your heart. You know, the least of you who's come into this church and the least of you that have received a word and received stuff have so much to give. And I hear that, I've only known the Lord for 2 months and I have nothing to give. Yes, you have. You've got to test me. And the word tells us that you overcome the enemy by the word of the test me in the blood of the Lamb. Come on. And that's why the emphasis on the testimonies on this power to change, they want dynamic testimonies that they're going to spread right across town. And people are going to respond to that, to the scripture. And you need to take a risk of faith in your own life. While He was still talking, some people came from the leader's house and told Him, your daughter is dead. Why bother the teacher anymore? Look what he does. Jesus overheard that they were talking about and said to the leader, don't listen to them, just trust me. That's out the Message Bible. Your translation will probably say, don't fear, only believe. Don't fear, only believe. And if I could unload that scripture into your heart this morning, backed up by the love of Jesus Christ to come into your heart, that's the one that's going to deliver you every moment of the day. When you look at the thing and you can't pay the bills and the sickness comes and this happens and that happens, that's the scripture that's going to help you. Oh, I'm getting old, my back's going to, my back goes out more than I do and all this sort of thing. This is a scripture that's going to help you, guys. This is a scripture that's going to help you. And sure, we have growing pains. Who doesn't have growing pain? You know what? I'm growing up every single day. I'm growing up getting younger and younger because I'm going to be with the Lord one day and I'm going to be jolling like you've never seen. Eh? Hey, James. I put this thing off instead of putting it on. Let me see if I can. Oh, dear. touching Dad's heart, our approach to his prophetic heart. Now, this is the last scripture I think that I need to share with you. Come on. Ah, pressed the wrong button. Intimacy with Dad, Abba. How often don't we talk about that scripture, oh, Abba Father, Daddy, and all this sort of thing. But I think you need to enter into the reality of Daddy. And this is my vision is to enter, is to embrace Dad and to become a little boy. I think I might have told you guys and shared my dream I had last year when I was in Portugal. And it was a dynamic dream. I'm even brave enough to say it wasn't a dream. I just met with him. He sat in front of me like a father. We didn't talk, but he talked. And I was like this little boy who couldn't wait to go and do the things that he didn't tell me. I wanted to go. I desired to go. He took me up into Africa. I went up into Africa. I went to a pastor's home, and I know I'm still going to meet that pastor. I went and did spiritual warfare. Went down, broke down spiritual strongholds. But spiritual strongholds under his anointing and what he's told me, and I've been waiting and I've been seeing these things happen. And even in the dream, even in the dream of that pastor that we prayed for, instantaneous healing. Guys, I'm trusting that God's going to instantaneously do something in your heart this morning. Daddy is going to come. Daddy is here, and Daddy's giving you his only begotten son. And the only begotten said, hey guys, I'm not leaving you alone. I'm giving you my Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit is here. His first name's Holy, and his second name is Spirit. And he's ready to touch you and bless you and take care of you. Isn't that exciting? Jesus probably used Abba for God not only in Mark 14:36, but also whenever the Greek word pater or paternal, parents, that's where all those words come from. So it's a family. We're talking family here. And get family. We are a family. Good morning, family. Huh? This is your older brother, and he's going to continue to keep you off your blessed assurance. How's that? And I love you. It denotes childlike intimacy and trust. Childlike intimacy and trust. Get intimate with Dad. Rely on Dad. Jesus relied on his Father. He only did what he saw his Father doing. He only said what he heard his Father saying. And I trust this morning, as we've shared together, that God would have put something like that into your heart. And even the childlike intimacy and trust that you need to have. And come to him like that this morning. Doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are, a teenager like me. So some of the teenagers were threatened by me. I said, can I come to the meeting as well? But they scared a revival, so that's their problem. But guys, that's what it's all about. That's what we're going to do. Now, what we're going to do now, and time is marching on, I know. Please forgive me. I told you, you've got to walk in forgiveness with me all the time. Okay, but just remember one thing. Just remember one thing. I love you. I might not know you personally. I might forget your name. That goes with the territory. But or whatever the case may be. But my heart is for you. My heart is for this church. My heart is for Steve and the guys here. And you know, we must thank the Lord for Steve. Steve has also been through the mill. Make no mistake. He gets up here and preaches. You don't know what it takes for a guy to get up here every week and to lead. So, sure, everybody makes mistakes. Anybody who's never made a mistake, put up your hand. I'll deal with that pride now afterwards. Come on. We're real people. Let's be real peoples. Let's be real peoples, okay. And now we're going to break bread. And what I feel we need to do, we need to exercise our faith now. We're going to put them out, all the elements out here now. And you come along, and this is your point of contact this morning. Instantaneous healing. And if you've got a specific problem, I am here. I will stand with you. I will believe with you. I have faith in my heart. I believe the gift of faith is operating in me, and the gift of faith is operating in this church right now. I believe the gift of healing is here, and God wants to heal. I believe there's gifts flowing in this place. And, you know, if you want to have healing for prayer for healing, may I ask you to stand on that side if it's anything specific. But before you do that, or actually, change. Let me change that because people will be going out that way. come into this corner because people need to go, and those who need to go can quietly go after you've broken bread. But if you've got specific prayer for a specific thing, you want me to stand with you, I will stand with you. James is here, Jimmy is here, and the other leaders are here as well. So please, don't go running off until you feel that the Lord has given you what you need. Okay. Amen. Let us just pray God's blessing on the emblems and God's blessing over you. Oh, yes. I believe there's a testimony here. Thank you, James, for reminding me.
Morning. It is just very simple, but it was very powerful. I was very sick over the last weekend. Common cold. But I got so sick on Monday morning, Monday night, I didn't know what to do. And the Spirit said to me, take communion. And I took communion, and the peace of God came over me, and I was healed. I got up on Tuesday morning, and nothing was wrong with me, because there is power in His blood.
Yes, amen. Thank you. You know, I need to say something there. She didn't need anybody to come and pray for her. She exercised her faith in Him. And this is why I thought this was such an ideal time in what I've said to you. The Lord has spoken about healing, I believe, this morning, and He wants to heal. So your healing is here. It's not in me or anybody else, okay? It's here this morning. And you need to exercise your faith. It's all about Him, and it's about you, and it's heart to heart. So if you see it like that, so let us pray, and when we finish praying, you come up and break bread as you feel, and then we can just go. And if you have any specific need, as I said, come to this side, just past the table there, and we'll come and help where we can. So let us pray. Dad, what a wonderful time we've had with you this morning. And Lord, we're just so happy to be in your presence. We're so joyful to be in your presence. And we think how much you loved us and sent your son to die for us. Wow, Jesus, and you went all the way for us. You spilt your blood. Here we see it. Your body was broken for us. And Lord, you said as often as we come together, we need to do this to remember what you did on Calvary. Oh Lord, we receive this morning all that you have at our point of contact here. We just thank you. We thank you for your presence. We thank you that you are here to do the job. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'll move on every soul here, that a revelation of your grace and your mercy and above all your love will descend over every person here, that as they leave here, they'll have a new sense, a new vibrancy because of their relationship with you. I pray that it's been enhanced this morning. And Lord, with all of us, we trust in you. We can only lean upon you. We don't have it all, Lord. We have you, and you are all. So we just thank you and bless you and praise you for this morning. Amen. Now, just before you come, one question. If you do not know or do not have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, come and break bread by faith. This is what he did. This is the gospel down here. This is good news. Here you have salvation. Here you have healing. Here you have deliverance. Come and receive. Amen. Be blessed.